Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
What are we doing? What's happening? Did something big happen this week?
Did we have an election?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
I have mixed feelings, and I need to work through my mixed feelings with you. Yeah. I'm hoping we can talk about, there are some wonderful things that happen, but I think there's also some not so great things that happen, and I need your help processing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be helping each other process what happens, but corners, it's a free-for-all discussion I think we need.
Unpacking things, who are the winners, who are the losers, what's going on, and what this also means for the future and moving forward. We have some ideas. Oh, I have a scoop for you.
Oh, I'm ready to hear some scoops. Scoop ice cream.
It is about fuckface Les Moonves. Just when you thought you couldn't fuck things up anymore. Oh, it's the ghost of Les Moonves past. It's coming up to fuck some more shit up.
Not fun like ice cream is, but you know what? I'm ready for a scoop. I might have a scoop for you too, but you know what? We'll see where we go with that extra scoop.
Two scoops for one. And the votes are in. Someone's really sexy.
Ooh, who is it?
Okay, we'll find out. Shall we get into this episode?
Let's go.
Breaking news, breaking news.
Is that the scoop song? I was like,
is it? Well, I don't, what's like the dun, 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 dun,
but
dun,
now we're even, we're further off base now. The first one made more sense.
Remix.
Now we're in a,
working it out. Pussy, what? Loosen up my buttons.
This is, You buried the lead.
That's our breaking news song. You know we can't have any just anything basic or regular.
What's the breaking news?
Okay. I don't even know how I Nancy Drew this.
Yeah.
I'm always doing the research, and I'm always trying to get the latest infos.
Okay, you know what? Pause on that, because I feel like one of your favorite things to do is talk about how much of a researcher you are. When I'm an actual librarian.
And you know what? What is that thing like, thou doth protest too much? Like,
yes.
The person who says it too much is
probably
not.
I'm a researcher. I'd be researching.
You know what I like to do?
I'd be researching. I know.
On the research. Well, as I was doing my research.
What do you think I do?
Well, you do so much research that you don't need to talk about it. Like, I do like a fair amount, so it's like important for me to like keep up appearances.
Isn't that counterintuitive? Maybe I need to be talking about how I research all the time. Once again, buried the lead. What is this scoop?
Okay, so as I was doing my research, I clicked on an article that and this is an older article that came out a few months ago. So remember, just when you thought Les Moonves couldn't be any more of a fuckface.
Oh my god,
and this is something, this circles back to like a conversation we've been having for years on the podcast.
This
because
one.
Les Moonves on this podcast, Les Moonves is pretty much the single-handed responsibility person. What, how do you say that? What's a better phrase? He is responsible
CBS.
for ruining Janet Jackson's career. Did I just scoop? I just scooped you. I think I just got you. Yeah. So,
I mean, I read about this, but I'm gonna go on.
Okay.
I'm gonna let tell me.
Okay.
Tell me and the children about this.
I don't know how I must have been sleeping.
You like that beauty rest.
I love you. Got the, you know this face. Got to stay
young.
I got to rest. I like sleep like a koala, 18 hours a day.
Did you know that mother koalas feed their children from their butts?
And this is just a new breaking news fact. Learn, laugh, and play.
Did you know that?
Nope, didn't know that.
Learned that from David Attenborough on Nature. Okay. It was hella cute. Oh. It was this koala with her little tiny baby. I was like, oh, so cute. And then like the mother koala produces a special fecal matter that she feeds her baby from. And they show this baby straight up crawling towards the butthole, chowing down out of it.
Stop it. Well, I learned something. You just scooped my scoop.
Anyway,
I just got scooped.
Less Moonves. Okay.
So less fucking Moonves. So if you all remember back to Nipplegate, I feel like this has been like an ongoing Minority Corner investigation because we keep reopening up these files about Janet and Nipplegate.
We are pulling that box off the shelf.
We're like, you know what? Let's go open it up again. I want to reopen up that investigation. Mm-hmm. If James Comey can reopen up investigations, so can we.
So can we.
So can we, James Comey?
The same one box we have.
Yeah, it's just one box. That's the only investigation we're really on. Maybe Beyonce Gate, who bit Beyonce every once in a while. There's a smaller folder for that. Oh, yeah, we did.
Case
that's right. Okay.
Closed.
Put it back in the box. If we have time, I want to pin back to Sana Lathan.
Oh, okay.
Pin on a pin. So, but Les Moonves. So he was head of CBS during Nipplegate when that whole entire thing happened. And he had actually banned both. He was livid that this had happened. And
why?
He had banned both Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake from the Grammys that were going to be happening the next week. If you remember, Justin Timberlake went to the Grammys. I think he won awards and shit like that.
He was celebrated.
How did Justin Timberlake end up going back? He groveled and cried to
Les Moonves.
Oh, I didn't
know this part.
He groveled and cried. And so pretty much because Janet Jackson
has integrity, didn't
grovel, Les Moonves made it his mission to destroy and ruin her career. And if you remember, CBS, owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
Viacom owns MTV, mass amounts of radio stations, VH1. So he sent out messages and memos to all of them. He was the one that orchestrated it. And he said, do not play her music videos. Do not let her on any of the channels. Stop playing her music.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that's why her album that was released a month later didn't do well. The next few ones, he had blacklisted her. Then fast forward to 2011, she has a book. She had a book, something like Self Empowerment or something like Coming Out of Being You or Coming Out of Your Future or something.
Coming Out of Your Future.
Like, something really beautiful. I was close.
Okay.
True You, A Journey to Finding and Loving Yourself. I was
close. You were close.
I was close.
You were.
I was really close.
It's like one of those magnetic poetries. You were like off by a couple words.
I live and breathe in the self-help section, so I would just pull in words. Like, what do they usually say? It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Out of your future. That's good. You need to put that in your back pocket.
Like, it's one of my, like, you know, special skills.
Yeah.
So she had that book, Loving You, Being Yourself, True You, Be Your Best You.
Yes.
And produced by Simon & Schuster.
Big name also publisher.
Also owned by Viacom.
Oh.
Les Moonves was livid. A source says that he said, how the fuck did she slip through? He was so livid that she had gotten a book deal.
Oh, yep. Man. So you did scoop me.
I scooped you. Scoop, scoop, scoop. I was doing my research, remember?
Yeah,
I was bragging about the
I'm
research
proud
I was doing.
Because I had, that's, I knew that brag. Les Moonves was out to destroy Janet Jackson. That's where I was like, okay, done with this. Move on with my day. I didn't know Justin Timberlake was on that list too and begged and groveled to get on there. And so all Les Moonves wanted was a power trip. And since Janet Jackson wouldn't give it to him, because why should she? She's Janet motherfucking Jackson. He destroyed her. What a fucking small-minded little man.
And in fact, everybody who was interviewed for this article from the Huffington Post, and we'll post it, they asked to be anonymous because they were like, listen, I don't need him coming after me.
Because
he has a vendetta against people. He's just power-hungry, maniacal man. And also, too, and I said this earlier, a few weeks ago when you were talking about the new shows that were coming out, the diversity, a lot of diversity is coming to CBS.
Yep.
And I'm not sure, what's different at CBS? Les Moonves is gone.
Yeah.
That's what's different. He's like, he's been a sore on that network. And that network is, I mean, rest in peace what it used to be, but The Cosby Show, I believe, was on CBS.
Oh,
like,
was it?
So it's
man.
It used to have these things, and like Maude and all those shows that were like talking about issues and things used to be on CBS. So that's what I got.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show what, like, you need people at the top who are even keel, fair-minded, and not megalomaniac, crazy people.
Yep.
I wonder what it's like in the Julie Chen Moonves and Les Moonves's
home. Oh my gosh. I mean, I am pulling for you. Wolf, Julie Chen, like, get out of that.
What,
like,
are you doing? What's happening?
I'm a Big Brother fan. I love Julie Chen. And
Chen Moonves.
Moonves, as she is now known to everybody. I'm like, when did that come out? Okay, girl, no. Get out of there.
No, what a
Your
mess.
Husband's a monster. But I wonder if it's one of those things that sometimes, like, women just see a different side to their husbands. Or you just sometimes have blinders.
Or they just make, like, concessions. Because, I mean, clearly, she is not hurting from her marriage to Les Moonves. I hate to say that. That sounds so, like, gold diggery. But, well, I mean, like, she's on Big Brother. She's on the talk.
The talk happened, I'm going to say this, dollars to donuts, but because of who her husband was.
I hate to say it, but it's the truth.
And at the same time, I'm all here for it because she put, you know, she's an Asian American woman, and they pulled together a very diverse panel on the talk.
Which
and
I'm
really
happy
appreciate
for.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, she benefited from, you know, her relationship with them. And he wasn't an asshole to her, so she's like,
Maybe he is an asshole to her. But we shouldn't speculate. That's behind closed doors.
Ooh,
that's
not us. That's not what we do. We don't. This is the speculation corner. When did we become that? I mean, I will speculate off the mic. Switching gears.
Yes.
I think we had an election yesterday. This is the day after the election.
Yes.
The dust is settling.
It is November 7th. You guys are going to be hearing this on November 9th, but, you know, a couple days.
Or you could be listening to this during Kwanzaa, depending on if you're just joining.
Yeah, I mean, y'all be listening to these episodes.
Whenever you get a chance.
And you know what? We thank you for that.
Yeah,
thank I'm you still for getting congratulations on my pregnancy, so thanks, guys.
Oh god, the kid's gonna be like 6 years old. Congratulations, like,
catching up on Minority Corner.
You're pregnant? Yeah. I have had like some time to. I was all in my feelings last night, to the point where I really appreciate Aneke like messaged me. She's like, "So about today's episode?"
Because I care about you, and I wanted to make sure because I was feeling a certain way, and I saw your post, and I was like, "Okay, now I want to make sure that we enter into this podcast on equal footing,
yes,
caring about
equal
each other,
taking
knowing
care of each other.
Each other's feelings, respecting each other's thing,
and knowing that we're on the same side."
Yeah.
We're on the same team.
You know, just because you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat doesn't... No, sorry. No.
Just because you donated money to Ted Cruz's campaign and I have questions.
I can't even joke about Kemp because he's fucking disgusting.
Weird.
He's disgusting.
It would be weird. No. But the thing is, I also learned a lesson of like what happens when you are in your feelings and it's late at night and you've been drinking a lot of whiskey and then write a post. And then
man, you were in full auntie mode on on Facebook.
Because here's what happened last night. So I was by my... So I went to a Manhattan Young Democrats meeting.
Fun.
And
look
then
at
I was
you,
like,
mover shaker.
But then, like, none of the people that I knew at Manhattan Young Dems was there. And it was, like, the League of... It was a joint thing with the League of Women's Voters.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't really know any of you. So then I was like, well, Marianne Williamson is giving a lecture across the street. So I went to the Marianne... I was like, I need to pray. I need to get some spirituality up
in
myself.
Look at you living your New York life. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. And so then I was there. And then afterwards, I was looking at the results. And this is, like, early on. So it's, like, 9 p.m. my time. Mm-mm. Polls are just closing.
Yeah,
and it is a disaster.
That's why
it
I did not look.
It's a lot of, like, it's not going well.
No.
And, like, it's right off the bat. Like, Andrew Gillum's not doing well. Stacey
right.
Abrams isn't doing well.
Right.
Beto was up at that point, though. And I was like, but 1% was in or something. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And it just was a disaster. Me trying to get to my friends. I went to the Manhattan Young Democrats. They invited me to go to the governor's event. But I was, like, in...
Why didn't you go to that?
Well, I was in jeans and a tie. I just didn't... I just didn't feel right.
I'm New York. I'm not New York. I'm Northern California. So to me, I'm like formal. You said word tie.
Jeans and a short sleeve, like button up with a tie. And it just, you know.
I get you. You wanted a slack.
You know.
You feel like you need a slack for a governor, especially on a night of politics.
Of an election. Yeah. So then I went to my friend's house and it was a disaster trying to get there. Yeah. I haven't eaten in hours. And by the time I got there, things started winning, but it started winning and stuff. But I was still, hungry, alone, mm-hmm. and in my feelings. I never got to celebrate all the wins mm-hmm. that had started happening. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's I get where... you, because I had a very different night. Okay. I came home, and I watched a little bit of the show. You might be familiar. It's called 90 Day Fiancé.
I'm not familiar at all, actually. So that was an assumption. Never heard of
it. It's a very sophisticated show of the genre of reality.
Ooh, I've heard of that. I've heard of that. Very popular in France.
Hey, it's a trashy ass show. It's the trashiest show out there right now. It's on TLC and it's super trashy. And I was
you know what? Mm-hmm. And TLC, I remember when I was a kid. The Learning Channel, She Ain't Anymore. No. Like, it used to be like really like riveting docuseries.
Yeah. Now it's anymore. Trash hole. And they try to like make it in the same format. It's like, you're going to learn. Like, the beginning of 90 Day Fiancé starts like it is a documentary. It starts with the lettering. Like, you know, like a good serious like show will have like lettering. And it says like, every year, Americans apply for the K-1 visa. And basically, it's like Americans trying to get married to international people, but both sides are trash. Like, straight up crazy pants, catfishing, living at home. Not that living at home is any problem, but...
No, yeah, yeah.
Just bad trash people, right? Gotcha.
Okay,
yeah. So, I did this because I was looking at Twitter, and I know myself, and I know that
Twitter is a hellscape. Mm-hmm. Careful, watch yourself.
And I had to listen to the words of the wise and noble Roxane Gay. That was like, elections are gonna happen. Don't kill yourself by looking at the, you know, the feeds and all of that. Just check in later, and then you'll find the results then. So,
I
did that.
Which was a smart move. I was sitting in Marianne Williamson's lecture where it was starting to, like, there was 20 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, let me just take a peek. And I couldn't stop. And then I couldn't stop. I was hitting refresh. I'm trying to listen to the spiritual ass lecture. And
now I'm having like a,
I'm having a panic attack right now.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. You're right. It fucking sucks. Right. Yeah. But it's the truth. It's like, especially on a night like election, taking a peek is like almost like, it's, I would say it's equivalent to like being like, I'm going to look around this corner, and then you slip into a hole, into a pothole. Yeah. You're just like, what's around this? Ah!
Yeah. Well, and especially like, also I found, here's the thing too. I think it was really triggering like my emotions and feelings from 2016. Cause I was there at the Javits Center.
Yes.
And so it was bringing back all of those feelings of just losing and things going into a hellscape. And so I was so down in that deep ditch that it was hard to see. And now the day later, I can see all the positive sort of things that had happened. But before we get to, because there's so many and I want to spend a lot of time. Could we start with a low so we end on a high note?
Yeah, because I feel like the low actually leads into a high note.
You are so right. Agreed. Agreed. I think one of the hugest things that really, I think.
Oh,
you
wait,
know,
should
I,
we take I, a quick oh, music break?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You guys, listen to this little ditty, and we're going to kick off with some lows of the election season, but we'll get our high on later.
There we go.
What do you look for in a book? Literally, if on the bag it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book. Yeah. Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
What's the best way to e-read in the tub?
Listen to that noise. I'm reviewing a plastic bag today.
How do you find a good book?
This is the most fucked up weird shit you've ever read. You're like into it. I'm like, hand it over.
Take my money.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems. Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
And we're back if you're just joining in.
We don't have commercials yet. Someone give us money.
And also, on a podcast, are you ever just joining in? Oh, if you're just fast-forwarding over to this part.
Oh, I'm glad that you turned your dials.
Just turn your dials
first,
over here.
Before we get to the lows.
Okay.
James and I haven't, little sausage being made right now.
Ooh.
James and I haven't done video chat for a minute, and now we're doing video chat again. I'm not coming for you.
Is this about my scarf?
Yes.
See?
You keep tossing it. And it's cute.
I forget
it's very
you can
cute,
see
but
me.
You are inside. Tossing your scarf.
as I'm wearing a short sleeve t-shirt. I'm still California at heart, where
you
we
are.
Wear
you
t-shirts and
it.
Scarves. I can't.
You can't shake. You're from a hot area of California too.
That's true. But I got that Bay Area blood in me now. Okay. So some of the I was reading, this is, you know what? Fuck you, media. Fuck you.
Okay, yes. But that's us too.
Oh, okay. Well, but we do our jobs and we don't be speculating and shit.
We are researchers.
We are researchers. As we talk about a lot on the show about how much we research. Y'all know. But like, I just get so tired of like having there, like every article I read was just about like how Andrew Gillum was going to win. And it just was such a crushing blow to my chest heart hole, you know?
Tell me about it.
Well, it reminded me again, like everyone's like, Hillary Clinton's gonna win. And I think you're not doing your job, media, when you're projecting that sort of stuff, because it also, I don't know, some people sit at home because they're like, oh, they're gonna win.
Right, exactly.
It's dangerous.
It creates the apathy to be like, well, if he's going to win, then he's going to win.
And it fires up the other side who's like, oh, fuck, I need to go because that, you know, that black man's going to win.
Mm-hmm. I think what we need to talk about right now in this low section, before we get into, you know, people and the other sides and all of that, is a little phrase called voter suppression.
Yes. Can we talk about that? Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Because that is the evil fucking lurking stink fart cloud over this election.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, in Georgia, and like my heart just like, I get so emotional when I think about it, about the voter suppression that has happened in Georgia, because it's like, it's straight out of the 60s or the 50s, you know, when, you know, especially in Georgia, we've talked about how Kemp, who's overseeing, he's the Secretary of State and he's overseeing the elections already. Yes. To me, it's like, why would you not want to recuse yourself from that? You can't be fair and balanced. And also to me, I would want to win fairly. You were straight up cheating. There was a story about a 92-year-old woman. So they had done all these voter purges.
Yeah.
And mostly purging, you know, it was like 70% were like black and Latino, mostly black, because Georgia's a high, a lot of black people there. And it was like this 92-year-old woman went to the polls and was told she couldn't vote. Fuck you. She has already lived through that, because you did your voter purges. This 92-year-old woman couldn't vote. Not only could she not vote, but she couldn't vote for potentially the first black female governor. Like,
I know. It's disgusting.
They had long lines. People were waiting in lines for like 4 hours. When I went to go vote, I was like in and out.
Me too. Mine was easy.
But there's,
I was like high-fiving little kids. Was that elementary school?
Okay, yeah. But there's like so much, like there's like in these other big, like there's so many polling places here in New York.
Yes.
I imagine over in the Bay Area. They have
because
long,
we're fair.
And they purposely create small amounts of polling stations, and then they're understaffed. They had like one of these polling stations had three stations to be able to.
Like, what the fuck is that?
And people were having to wait like in 3 or 4 hour long lines.
Yeah.
The courts had ruled that they were going to allow voting to continue going till 10 p.m. People had gone to go get something to eat and came back and were told that they couldn't vote. And it's just like straight up like targeting racist bullshit. And then the last thing that he did recently of saying that the Dems were trying to hack the election. Fear mongering. This is
Kemp to me is almost a cartoon with how
of a villain,
horribly
yeah.
racist he is. So I was talking to a coworker who told me that he actually was in he spent some time in Atlanta, and in 2012 Georgia tried to I'm probably gonna butcher this, but essentially I believe what it was Georgia tried to cut the spending on the archives, the state archives for the state of Georgia, and make it privatized, which basically means that if you were to go and research, you couldn't, you know?
Right.
Suppressing history, changing history, hiding the ugly fact that the South was very terrible, especially Georgia, to Black people. Secretary of the state at the time who did that, Kemp.
Oh, see? There you go. There's a history.
Have you seen his... Did you ever look at his commercials?
No, but I know that I do know that there were those racist robocalls that were also... There were racist robocalls that were going out. The Oprah had to put out, like, a message of, like, that was not me. Of, like...
His commercials... I looked at one today. I couldn't believe it. Like, literally, it's him with a gun being like... I got guns. I'm a governor with guns. Going into his truck, I'm going to pick up some illegals in this truck. Legitimately said that. This guy is disgusting.
Yeah.
And I cannot even wrap my brain around someone to be so disgusting, so petty, so low down. He just... It's... Just like how you and I were texting earlier, and it's a lot, and we've talked about it on the podcast, where it's generational trauma, where we're feeling it.
Yeah.
He has generational racism built into his fabric.
And you know, last night at the lecture, I was at this Native American woman was talking about generational trauma, and they say that it takes 4 generations for that trauma to work itself out.
Wow.
And that's why, like, you know, when I remember when you talked about the cross burning last week, I just like, there's a thing like this voter suppression, it hurts. Like, it absolutely hurts. And look at all, you know, all the snaps, you know, Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum, because look how fucking close. And Stacey Abrams hasn't called it. It's Wednesday. I don't know what has happened by the time you guys are listening to this. I'm so glad
glad she's not.
I am glad that she is not conceding. Absolutely glad that she's not conceding. It's not been called yet. And look at how close she is. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Andrew Gillum, how close he was. And all the bullshit red tape that they had to go through, all the hurdles that they had to go to. And it's, again, it reminds you, as a Black person in this country, how much harder you have to work to win or even get close.
Which,
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. But what you're saying right now, to me... And this is where I was feeling, I'm pissed off that they lost. And I'm pissed off that they lost in, well, not Stacey yet. We don't know yet, but you know.
Yes.
And, but in terms of voter suppression, because that's what it was. Let's just be honest. Georgia was fucking obvious, which is why I'm glad that Stacey Abrams is not conceding. You know Florida's fucking obvious. Beto and Cruz in Texas, it happened.
Yeah, but, yeah.
The thing that I have to say that is a silver lining to me, just like how there is generational trauma, generational racism built into the fabric of this country.
Yeah.
And the fact that just a few years ago, we elected Trump, we were able to get in these deeply racist states.
Yeah.
Deeply ingrained Ku Klux Klan member fucking burning lynching states.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
So to me, the door is open.
Yeah. Are we getting into the highs already?
No, we're not. But I can't help myself. Okay.
I know.
I can't help myself, James.
I almost was about to as well. I was like, ooh. I know. But yeah. Well, another...
we'll put a pin in that.
I was a little sad that Andrew Gillum conceded.
Me too.
I wanted him to fight a little bit longer, or just because, like, you know, there was bullshit things that had happened. And because, like, Florida, like, I don't know why. It's like always things like Florida. What is going on? I feel like every few, not even just election cycle, there were the 2 yoga instructors who were shot and killed by that. And that guy was openly, I hate women. and was blatant about his misogyny and his hatred towards women. And again, like, you know, I just watched that movie Recount recently, and, and the springboard of, you know, it gave us 8 years of Bush and the Iraq War and all kinds of things.
Crazy.
Trayvon Martin. I mean, the list of things that's going down in Florida. An ex of mine reminded me that he said he lives down in Florida, and I was like, Florida, what's going on? He's like, it's that northern, that panhandle area, that it's like there's two different states, that the southern part of Florida is different. Yeah.
And also, we're talking about Florida and Georgia. They connect.
Oh, they are very good. You're right.
There.
They are.
Shared border.
You know, last night, Florida's always, it's like, Florida, again, for me, I was just like, last night, I was like, I am tired of Florida. You know what? Build that wall. Build it around Florida. Or you know what? Mother Nature keeps wanting to take it to the ocean. I feel like she wants to hit the reset button with Florida. She's like, let me wash this away. Can't. Florida just keeps messing shit up for you. Wash it away and be gone.
I have to acknowledge that there are a ton of amazing people in Florida.
A lot of great people. You know what? When the wave comes, get on a boat. When that wave comes and come on, you know, you got your pick. Go up alongside the coast.
That's one of my main reasons that I want to bring up this whole voter suppression and all of this voting. I have to salute, and like, for me, it is so easy for me to be like, oh, I'm California, I'm liberal, I'm voting for blue. It's like easy, you know, I'm in line and we're like, yay, blue, you know, it's like easy.
Right.
Can you imagine when the race is so fucking tight and the candidate is somebody that literally called the other opposing candidate a monkey, which is what happened in fucking Florida?
Right.
I commend all of you Democratic voters in Florida right now, because you are doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, that's some scary shit. I've driven through Florida. It's scary.
Every time I go to Florida, it gets a little nerve wracking. And the beach of Miami is fine, but if I start walking around, I get a little nervous.
Miami, a lot of butts.
And I love
me myself
some
confidence.
Butts. Gotta feed the babies. That's weird. Sorry, I was trying to do a circle back. I was trying to
koalas,
do a circle back to the koala.
I got it.
Okay,
but you should have just held strong. I would have been right there.
Okay,
your lifeboat, your koala lifeboat.
Some other ones that were losses to Christine Hallquist. She lost the governor bid in Vermont. Would have been the first transgender woman. She had the Democratic bid there. Katie Hobbs. She lost a closely watched Secretary of State race in Arizona. And she lost to Steve Gaynor, who was a GOP newcomer who said ballots should only be printed in English.
What the fuck? Fuck that!
So that's what's going on over there in Arizona. And also, like, you know, Beto losing, like, I didn't think he was going to be that close. Like, I did not think he was actually... He was such a long shot. And the fact that he got... From what I was hearing from conservative sources that I was, you know, keeping my ear, I got to hear what they're saying. What are they saying over there? And it was a long... On their end, it was a long shot. But he was so incredibly close. And I know we're in the low section, but I can't help myself. But there was a Beto effect in Texas, that because of him, he was able to pull up a lot of local legislatures.
Yes.
So a lot of
judges, black women judges,
Democrats in Texas, and who came out to vote because of the energy that he was providing. And the same thing happened around Stacey Abrams. There was a district that a representative won that Trump had overwhelmingly won, but because of Stacey Abrams and the turnout she was able to bring out, this woman won.
See, lifting people up along with them. These races are closed. See, we can't help ourselves.
We can't, because there were some great things that happened. Well, then let's get over to the good. We can't contain ourselves.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's some more music. I'm going to flip my scarf.
Yeah, I'm ready.
As we play the next track.
I'm I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No. But you change your mind.
We got that good, good. We got that good, good.
That's
we
right.
We got that good, good. Election good, good. Good, 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 good. You want these goodies.
Well, just to go.
What? That's our election good, good song.
I like that. Because the other thing that I want to bring up before we go into the other legislators, because, I mean, the big news, everybody was talking about these celebrity races, which was Andrew Gillum, Stacey Adams,
right.
Abrams, and Beto O'Rourke.
Yes.
Those are the ones everybody was talking about, but let's face it. Those three are such superstars. I don't think this is the first that we're hearing about them.
Oh,
this
they're not the going last. Anywhere. And I think the biggest win for me of the voting is Idris Elba getting voted sexiest man of the year.
Yeah, I had to purge ourselves of that Blake Shelton bullshit from last year.
Which I think is a sign of good things coming. I think, you know what?
Yeah.
Sexiest man of the year always tells us where we are as a country and what direction we're going.
Yes.
Blake Shelton was literally like, what's the thing that like announces that danger is coming?
Yeah. The red flag? Like,
the red flag, the canary in the cage.
Oh, yeah.
The canary in the coal mine. The siren was ringing. We should have known that was happening. About damn time.
Yep.
But
I mean,
you know,
how long has he been around? Forever.
He's been sexy forever.
Yes.
So it should have been like, as soon as you noticed him, People Magazine should have been like, oh, okay.
Duh.
He's sexy.
I know. That makes no sense at all. Well, you know what? We're on the right track. I feel like people are done with this whole fucking catering to Trump's America bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and like there was so many, I think like there's going to be 100 women in the house.
For the first time in history, 100 congresswomen.
That's huge. That's amazing.
Not
that's
to mention,
big.
A ton of them are women of color.
Women of color.
LGBTQ.
Yes. Yeah. So many. You know, I have a list of just different people I want to highlight too.
Yeah, let's do it.
We can talk about. Governor Scott Walker got defeated, which is great.
Yes,
Tony Evers beat him. Scott Walker is like a notorious man who was a union buster. He just was a terrible, terrible, terrible governor. This is local. Max Rose in Staten Island, he unseated the Republican incumbent there, which is really good for the House, Senate, one of the things. I forget. But Max Rose, that was a good win for here in New York. First openly gay governor in Colorado.
This story's good. You know why?
Yeah, Jared Polis. Who? Why?
Because remember that bitch that wouldn't give out the marriage licenses in Colorado?
She lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She lost. And now her governor is an openly gay man. So fuck you, bitch.
Something Davis, Kathy Davis or
whatever,
something.
Fuck her.
She gone. Mm-hmm. She got out of the history books. We're not writing you. Not writing you.
Mm-hmm.
We also, let's see, Sharice Davids and Deb Haaland, who are the first Native American women elected to Congress, which is one crazy.
That is like they're the first. Mm-hmm.
But amazing. Glad that it finally happened. Glass ceiling. Boom.
Also, Sharice Davis is an MMA fighter and a lesbian.
I know.
Which is awesome!
Just like the great things just keep on going. What I love is also just like not only like the ethnic and sexual diversity of people who are getting elected, but just like what their side things are, where they're coming from, you know?
It's more like, diversity.
It's reflected of America, which makes sense if you're going to get a room full of people who are going to talk about what are the governing laws or what should we do.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, duh. Like, that's what a representative should be.
Yes.
That's what
it
There's like, I think over 76 vets were elected, which I always think it's great to have vets who are in Congress because
they know
they've been to war. And so they'll know when it's time for us to go and when it's not.
I feel like they would be more cautious about it because they know the actual what happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I respect their opinions more.
Let's see. We have our first Muslim women.
Yes, two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Rashida Tlaib and Ihan Omar.
Yeah, Michigan and Minnesota.
Yes, very true. And, like, again, like, go ahead. Like, you know, this country just continues to surprise me sometimes, you know?
It makes me so happy.
Yeah. And Omar is also one of the first Muslim women in Congress to be elected, but she's also a Somali-American refugee who came here more than 2 decades ago.
And let's not forget that Donald Trump's dumbass son, Donald Trump Jr., was just tweeting racist tweets about Somali refugees. So fuck you. Suck on that. We now have a Somali in Congress and we're proud and we support her.
Yeah. There were over 110 million voters this year. This was like record breaking numbers for the midterm elections. I also just appreciate it because like everything I turned on, there was like so much just like vote for the I've never heard this much go vote for the midterms before ever.
People don't give a shit about midterms normally.
And this is how it should be always.
Yes.
Because one of the reasons why Obama got so screwed is we elected him and then we're like, okay, you got it. And we didn't support him.
Okay,
you
saying this right now, I'm going to say something very controversial, which is what I was a little afraid of.
Okay.
That people just brace yourself, everybody. Like, for reals, this is
hold
kind
on
of controversial.
To your butts. She's breaking out the controversy.
I'm kind of glad we got this election results because we got a lot of success, but we also got some major pitfalls.
We got some hurts,
which means it
hurts, and when it hurts you fight.
You can't just rest on your laurels. If we swept Senate, if we swept the House, and then we got those three superstar candidates in, no one would vote in 2020.
Oh, they got this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, did my job. You're right. Because it's like it just shows how much you have to keep
working
at it. And we've been talking about this on the podcast, is that like a democracy is earned.
Yes.
I was very much blessed that I did not have to work for this democracy. I was born into it.
Yes.
And I am being asked to participate.
We need
and
to
fight
maintain.
It's literally like for the rest of your life, it's a little side job that you're like, okay, what's going on? And okay, I need to vote and talk about it. Okay. You know, like we all just need to be active participants into our democracy.
Our democracy is a garden. We can't just let it go to fucking weeds or have vermin coming in.
We got vermin in the garden.
We got hell of
vermin in the carbon.
It is
garden.
A mess right now. We need to trim that shit.
It's the highest percentage of 18-year-olds since they got the right to vote.
I love it.
Finally,
see?
How sad is that? Like they're like, let's get the 18-year-olds to vote, and then they just never showed up.
Because, you know what? People need to stop talking shit about younger generations. This is the first group of Generation Z, and they fucking came out and voted.
They rocked it out.
They're going to fucking save us. So,
they did better than we did when we were little 18-year-olds. I do also think that we need to make it easier of how, and I think states are starting, I have some notes about this, but states are making it easier. Like, you turn 18, you just automatically be registered to vote, you know? Like, it just should. I remember, it's like, so I can also imagine it's hard for those who go off to college, like, where, I don't know that we make it that easy for people to figure out, like, how to vote. I feel like you go to college and it's like, here's your registration ballot. Or even, like, people who don't go to college, there should be, it's just automatic. It should be automatic.
It should be automatic, and it honestly kind of favors, there's a privilege in it because a lot of times you register to vote when you get your license to drive.
Right.
And a lot of kids that are in urban areas don't drive. Lot of kids who don't have money for cars don't end up getting their license.
It affects
different populations. So we need to, like you said, it should be automatic. What it should be is if you're a citizen, you should just be automatically registered.
Automatically registered. Mm-hmm. And you're not purged from any list because why would you need to purge voters from a list? Like, they're there.
Shit, dirtbag. I hate him.
And you know, actually, take a page out of Australia's, in books, Australia might. Was that good?
You know what? Okay. I support it. I'm here for you. I support you.
Australian listeners, you already know this.
All right, I don't know where that went. I'm hesitantly supporting you.
Australian listeners, Cher's here. God damn it, Cher.
One step at a time. What
you already know is
where are we now?
So in Australia, you actually get fined for not voting.
Ooh, I love that.
I'm kind of into that. Like, I'm, gotta pay
that
a fine.
Gets it's people like, to fucking
fine,
vote.
Don't vote, but you're gonna pay a fine.
Pay us money, parking ticket money. Since we're talking about young people, we got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Abby Finicker are the youngest women ever elected to Congress. She's motherfuckers.
So great. So fucking amazing. So great.
I know. I love it. Two 29-year-olds.
Little 29-year-olds. Florida passed Amendment 4, which restored the right to vote for 1.5 million citizens who have already paid their debt to society, creating the single largest expansion of voters by policy since the voting rights of 1965. So
40% of black men.
Right. So here's the thing, too, which is paving the ground wave for the next election.
Yes.
You're going to have potentially, like, if half of those people vote, that's like, you know, 750,000 people that are now going to be out there to vote. And Andrew Gillum lost by, like, I think less than that or around that ballpark number. Right.
True. So things are bubbling in Florida.
And you know what, too, what it is, Aneke? It's literally just chipping away. We are just chipping away at the bullshit that is there. And again, we're the microwave generation, so we want it like all right now, but
it's a marathon.
Things have been a mess for a long time. And so we
like
have to be active.
Like the beginning of this country.
Since the beginning of this country. And so we don't get to take, we just have to be active participants that we know that we have elections every 2 years.
Yes.
Every 2 years. And that we participate in that every single time. And, you know, all these referendums and things that got passed, that's all the snaps to all of you. All of you just regular citizens who you did that work. Because those aren't politicians who are doing that work. Those are citizens who work to get those measures passed.
Yep.
Who, to get people out there. Like, That's you. There's initiatives to raise the minimum wage passed in Arkansas and Missouri.
Yes.
Medicaid expansion in a slew of red states. Mm-hmm. There was a, let's see, the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Oh, Ayanna Pressley, Massachusetts' first black congresswoman.
Yes. I love her. Mm-hmm. She is fabulous.
Beating longtime incumbent, too, which is like, fuck yes. I mean, Boston is racist, so know?
Which, you know, it's so funny. I didn't realize, because my family is from Boston. Like, my mom's side of the family is from Boston, and, like, I didn't realize that, like, because, I was in a very, like, I guess just around my family, and I had no idea just, like, the racism out of Boston, but it's there.
Oh, my God.
But
yeah, it's there. Separate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'll say that later, but...
Oh. Okay.
The Democratic Party made massive gains at the state level, too.
Yes.
We have unified Democratic governments in Colorado, Illinois, Maine, New Mexico, and New York. And we also picked up 7 new governors. So all of that combined is huge because we're entering into it's 2020. We're going to be redrawing all the districts. So remember all that gerrymandering shit that went down?
Yeah.
The reason why things are so fucked up is that in 2010, when we weren't there for Obama, the Republicans went in, redrew everything, and made these funky, awful shapes that don't make any sense.
It's time to change it.
Yeah. And I think there's, so what's great is that these governors and these, Democratic governments in these states will be able to lead the charge in redrawing these states.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in a number of different states, I have the number somewhere, they've already, on their measures, they've already voted to redraw their districts.
That's good.
Already
I love it.
Coming into effect. And Michigan is doing Michigan is a swing state, and Michigan... Mm-hmm. This young woman, she led the charge for this measure, and they're going to be having 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and 5 independents redrawing the districts.
I love it.
Just these little and regular citizens, which I think
we need to
is
do
great.
It. It's perfect. Yeah. Kansas elected its first Democratic governor since 1975.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And beating out Kris Kobach, who he championed probably one of the most restrictive voting laws in the country. Mm-mm-mm. But he led President Donald Trump's voter fraud commission, which we talked about, which is found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Laura Kelly. Elaine Luria, she won in Virginia, and I did phone banking for her on Monday.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, you did your part.
I did. Yeah, I got involved. Little shout out to phone banking. I didn't want to do it, but I was like, I need to get involved, do something. Phone banking is so, my friend of mine, he threw a party. He did a phone banking party. There were 16 of us gays in an apartment calling these swing states, making sure people knew where their polling station were.
Wow. That's how you do it. You make it a party.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now I feel motivated because now I'm like, okay, now I know phone banking. I want to host a phone banking party. It's really easy.
Do it. I love it.
You can do a swingleft.org. They make it so easy for you in that case. Just like they give you the information, they give you what to say, and it's super easy.
That's awesome. I love it. I want to bring up Angie Craig. She was the first openly lesbian mother to be elected to Congress, and she's in Minnesota. But I really want to point out, I love these like just dessert shits because her opponent, Jason Lewis, compared gay people to rapists and called the bathroom access for transgender students an abomination. So fuck you, Jason Lewis.
You're
I'm glad the people of Minnesota voted in Angie Craig because yuck to that guy.
That's a similar story to J.D. Ford, who is an out gay man. He beat one of Indiana's most conservative state senators to become the state's first out state legislator. So we got that guy out of there.
So we're like making so many changes. We're busting through levels.
Yeah,
people
there were 608 black women who ran for office across the country.
608?
Yeah.
That's a lot of black women. Fuck yeah.
One of them was Letitia James, who she beat out Keith. Who cares what his name is? He's out of the history books. She's going to be New York State's attorney. And she's going to be on the front line pursuing several actions against Trump, which include, her job is to sue, she gets to sue the president. And she's going to be suing like a lawsuit against the president's charitable foundation, which we all know is a giant fraud.
I want to give a little shout out to Maxine Waters.
Ugh, I can give all the shout outs to Maxine Waters. Slaying it down, always and forever.
She is going to be now the head of the overseeing of finance, I think.
Yes.
Because of how we've gotten the control over the House.
Right.
She is now one of the top officials that will be in charge of actually looking into the finances of this administration. So
that's great. Yeah.
Good old Auntie Maxine.
So we can really go for Ben Carson's $50,000 table that he bought. Like there's been like, I think that's the thing too that you just brought up, that we now have a system. The government needs a system of checks and balances.
Yes.
That's just the way that it's just going to, it benefits.
Yes.
And there's been no system to check this administration to call them out on anything. We can now, you know, open up on investigations on things.
Yes.
There has to be like no more stupid tax laws are going to be, you know, for the rich are going to be able to get passed through anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That we now have a system of checks in place.
So I do, knowing us, even though we're in the positive section, I do have to say a little negative right now.
Okay.
What the fuck, Nancy Pelosi, with your bipartisan speech right after we just won all this shit?
Like, I know.
That's not good.
And it's also not, like, I understand what she's doing, but it's also
not
the time. But not the time. And it's not the energy that we need. We need you to be, and also she's trying to vie for Speaker of the House.
It's not
a done deal that she would be Speaker of the House. I feel like what she has stated is what she wants to do is it's gonna be a transitional year. She doesn't like she wants to step down. And she feels like she does have the experience and the connections to be able to whip up all the different votes that she will need to get things passed. Yeah. But at the same time, we don't actually need to because we have majorities. So just go pass the things that you need to go and pass.
Right. I'm feeling like I get that there's a time to be bipartisan, but clearly when we're dealing with a party that is infested with racist
vermin.
And
racist
exactly insanity, we need to be holding court and taking sides for the people. So I, as much as I want to, I don't want to blast anybody of my party, but she needs to take a different tactic.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I know we're trying not to be in the negative zone, but I am, you know, I really do give snaps to Claire McCaskill and what was the other one? So Claire McCaskill lost her seat because she voted against Brett Kavanaugh. She wasn't going to vote for his confirmation. She's a Democrat and so Claire McCaskill is a Democrat who lost her seat to Josh Hawley, and there was another Democratic because she's in she is in Missouri and Ms.
Red.
Her and another senator were in Heidi Heitkamp. Her and Heidi Heitkamp were in Trump territory, and they knew that their Trump supporter, that Trump people were not going to vote for them, but they stuck with their conscience. They knew that voting for Brett Kavanaugh was not the right thing to do, and they knew that it was going to cost them the election. And
but
they,
you
still
know what?
Had
I give them the I give them all the snaps for doing that because that's called integrity.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what they get to make sure that they have. So all the snaps. A bummer that their electorate turned on them for that. But that's how democracy works. Then in that
it
sense,
it is. I know it is. We're at such a fascinating point in history right now. And I feel like because we won the House, Democrats won the House back, and so many women of color, people of color, LGBTQ people, I feel like I have hope right now, which is good. But it's very tenuous.
And it's a different kind if you look at like 2 years ago where we were, it was like we were building up hope from nothing.
Oh, God.
You know?
Don't
like,
I know?
We were building up hope from nothing. We were imagining what we were going to do, what it was going to be. It was different. And now it's like we have we've got skin in the game, you know?
Yes. It's not a tangible. Done deal.
We've got, and we just have to, you know, sort of keep working. This actually, I would like to actually sort of pivot, like, what does this mean sort of moving forward? And I'm going to say something that I think is controversial.
Ooh, I'm ready.
So, and this pains me. I already had my mourning for this.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that this election does say, though, because of the losses of Beto and... well, we don't know where Stacey Abrams is, but with Andrew Gillum, these rock star outsider, very young, vibrant minority.
Yeah.
I do think that this actually put a nail in the coffin. I don't think that you're going to have a Kamala Harris 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and I did not want this to be true, but white men's votes still matter at this
point. This country's racist.
It's they're not
to
ready
say
for
it so casual.
Oh,
but
how can you not? It's literally just like the sky is blue. This country is racist. I mean, they're just a hand in hand fact. Like that's what it is.
Unfortunately.
And many of last night's Democratic candidates won, but at the same time, though, many of last night's Democratic candidates won not by luring Republican voters or promising bipartisanship, but by having, you know, bold policies.
Yeah.
I do think Trump is a hard one to beat, and I think the only person I think that could do it is Joe Biden.
Oh, interesting.
And here's, can I put this into your pocket, though? I think Kamala Harris has a track towards the presidency. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think.
Okay, break it down.
Biden and Kamala Harris.
Interesting.
That's a winning
Beto?
Ticket. Well,
people are talking about Beto. He's starting to get a little buzz.
I know. I think he's going to have I think he can generate a Bernie Sanders sort of like energy and vibrancy.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that... Like,
he's
I think that there are people, and people know Biden. And I think that those people who are also like, I don't like Trump, but I'm a Republican. And these people usually still vote in that red box. I think that Joe Biden has the potential to lure them over, because Trump is like, he's got such a crazy fanatical base. And then I think by putting on someone like, I think Kamala Harris should definitely still run because, and be on that debate stage, get the public attention and debate against, you know, Biden, and let's have a really great, strong primary. Say put Beto in the mix as well.
Yeah.
But I think that if Biden, I don't think he should have another white guy or old white guy on his ticket. If you were to put Kamala Harris, it's going to energize. Because the thing about Kamala Harris, I love her.
But
she's not a good public speaker right now. If you ever watch her speak, she's not engaging and it's not interesting.
Oh, and wow. Ouch.
But this is just like,
I know,
this
it's
is
true. I know it's true.
And I think she's a great politician and not all like, there's many a local, like, but you're going to the national stage. If you're speaking to the national stage and look at the track record, ever since Ronald Reagan, every single person who's been voted in, aside from George Bush Sr., and he got beat out by someone who was charismatic and interesting that people want to hang out and have charisma. A beer with. That's just kind of where we are.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris doesn't have that yet. Now, she serves as vice president.
Yeah. She can get
then
it.
She's got the experience, and then she, because again, she's a woman of color, so she's gonna have, she has to have all the credentials to be able to sort of get it. I think you'd have a winning ticket. I even think that Biden would even do one term and step to the side and let Kamala Harris potentially run in his place for another year.
I have a few more candidates I want to throw at you.
Okay,
because I don't think that Biden and Harris are end all be alls.
Okay.
What about a Cory Booker? Too black?
Yeah.
So
you know, I think this election does show that I think he could be a vice presidential candidate.
You don't think that we can run another Obama?
Not
people just too racist.
Not against Trump. He's an incumbent. And so the incumbent already has the advantage. And this, I didn't want to say this. 2 years ago, I was like, no, we need a wild card. We need someone fringe. And I would have been, 2 years ago, I was on that pathway. I was like, fuck getting the white man's vote. I don't care about it. But seeing it's this election results, Aneke, I see where the country is.
Yeah.
And, but I do think as that BP pick, definitely getting someone who is like a Beto, a Kamala Harris, a Booker, who is going to energize people to get to the polls and excite black people to get to the polls. He's got to put a black person on his ticket.
Okay, I got another one for you.
They black?
No.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. Why do you say it like that? I love Elizabeth Warren.
I do too. I just think it's interesting. Like, I've really been watching this, like, because I've been watching a lot of interviews.
She's a powerful speaker.
A very powerful speaker. I think if it's Elizabeth Warren, absolutely. I think Trump is going to be an awful human being to her in those debates.
Well, he's going to be an awful human being to anybody in his debates.
But Biden can, like, absolutely go toe-to-toe with him. I'm not saying the others can't.
But do you think Biden's too old?
I think, and that's why I think that Biden would do one term just to get the country back on track and make way for the future. You know, I think just to get Trump out. I think that Biden has a lot of regrets that he didn't win, that he didn't run. Well, I heard and listened to him in an interview. He regrets that he didn't run last time. But his son was like, I think he had just lost his son.
His son just died of brain cancer. Like, give the man a break, man.
So he has a lot of guilt because, you know, he loves this country and whatnot. But he's old. That's why I think he would just do one term. But Trump is also old.
Depends. Fuck Trump. I'm not, you know, whatever. But he's old and gross. He's all the bad things.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too, that I think the Democrats need to do is we need to have our strong policies of just like, this is what we're going to fucking do. For instance, like bold policies, like we're going to make D.C. and Puerto Rico a state. That's part of our policies. We're going to make that happen.
This is why I can't get behind the Pelosi statement, because it's too fucking wishy-washy. We need a face of the party. We need a bold statement. We need a bold platform, and we need to unite. We need to accept the progressives in, because that's clearly who we want.
Yeah, there's a huge movement. Again, like a lot of people that we listed, they are part of this sort of progressive movement. And all the snaps for, like, you know, I think, like you said, you know, the Trump getting elected, it really lit a fire under people's asses. I mean, mm-hmm. runforsomething.org got 600 yes. people running across the nation. They were not a thing that existed 2 years ago.
Yes.
That the barrier for entry, it's easier for people to get involved into running and getting involved. And also, like, I think, like, at the adding, like, bold policies, things like ending the Electoral College, that the Democrats were like, we want to end this.
And I'm fully behind it.
And like, what if that's a bold-ass statement? Because I think it's even something that even Republicans could actually, like, not all Republicans, but some, like, moderate Republicans could even get behind. Because mm-hmm. why should, I think if you're a Republican in California, your vote should count. Mm-hmm. Your vote should count. Your vote shouldn't count any, like, some, a Democrat in Kansas's vote shouldn't count more than your vote, right? Mm-hmm. Like, every vote should count. It would then, because it would also galvanize more people to come out and vote. Mm-hmm. It would then really make our country look the way it's supposed to in terms of local and state legislators. Everybody mm-hmm. loses from that Electoral College. Democrats, Republicans, everybody loses. It doesn't benefit anybody.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. Every yeah. vote should count.
I think what we're talking about now is proof in the pudding that this election that we had, the election results may not be what we want, but yeah. it is what we, in a sense, need. Because yeah. we need to stay in action. We need to start talking about 2020. We need yeah. to start planning phone banking sessions. We yep. need to stay on top of this shit because it's still rolling. We're still yeah. dealing with Trump just yelled at a fucking press conference today.
Yeah. Yelled at some black person, told them that they were racist. Already fired Jeff Sessions and has someone on plate who is even more conservative and against LGBTQ people already lined up to go.
Gearing up to fire Mueller. So we need to stay activated. And I think yeah. this election will keep people activated, will keep people going. Yeah. And I really hope that Georgia has a runoff because that will keep the power going, keep the voter action going, keep people activated in politics so we can't just disengage. So yeah.
And it also kind of allows us all to kind of focus our, because we've all been like working on different campaigns and stuff, and yeah. we can all focus our efforts towards Georgia.
Hell yeah. We got this. So I feel like right now I feel activated. I feel positive by all the wins. Yeah. And I feel activated.
It feels like game on. Like I said this earlier, I feel like we're back in the game. Like mm-hmm. last year, last election, we felt so out of the game. We're just our way back into it. And I think, like you said, I think it's something like we all feel activated as citizens. Mm-hmm. My Facebook feed, you know, and I try mm-hmm. to. I tried to text like all my, I have like, you know, not 9 aunts and uncles. I have 46 mm-hmm. first cousins. I was texting my family being like, don't forget to vote tomorrow. Don't forget to vote tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I was getting back?
What?
Already voted. Oh, yeah! We do early voting here. And on one of the chats, they were then debating one of the referendums. They're like, oh no, it's just worded wrongly. They're trying to get you to go this way.
I love what it really means.
I have some mm-hmm. voting as family.
That's the best.
I just love it because, you know, when I went to the polls, I got dressed up this year. I put on mm-hmm. a little tie mm-hmm. and I didn't vote just for myself, but I voted standing on the ground for all those that came before me who were not able to vote. And those yeah. even who are alive today who mm-hmm. were suppressed and not able to vote.
Yes.
And it just feels like it's a new America. I feel like our generation is activated. And this is a lifelong commitment. Like, this is, you don't get to take a break. We are active.
Always voting. Always be voting.
Active participants in our democracy. Because if we aren't, they'll take it away from us.
I don't want a nasty-ass garden.
We want a beautiful garden with tulips mm-hmm. and
some fruit that you can eat. Pomegranates.
I want mm-hmm. some, what's that pomegranate over there? And some koalas feeding their children out of their butt.
Democracy.
Aneke.
Yeah, James, what's up?
I want to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What was that fucking song?
Thank you for thanking me. Because you helped pull me out of I think the universe, you are my angel. You helped pull me out of my hellscape. I was maybe a little hungover today too, and didn't get a lot of sleep, and I had to go to these meetings. But you kind of helped, helped snap me out, because when you messaged me, I was like, okay. And I was in a bit of a funk, and you kind of, as soon as I talked to you, I started seeing a plethora of articles that was like, look at all this good shit that's happening, and it just... And you said a lot of just wisdomful
things.
Wisdomful things.
You know what? I like wisdomful things.
And I feel just inspired to just continue doing the work that we've already been doing. I feel like, you know, we've learned.
We check and balance each other because, you know, I want to thank you because it's true. We need to also acknowledge the shit that happened, you know, and we need to acknowledge that it causes pain and it causes hurt, and we can't just gloss over it and be like, yay, you know, this good stuff happened, because you know what? It's both sides of the coin. Yeah. So I'm glad that you expressed yourself on Facebook because it's true. People need to face this shit.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad that we are able to cover both sides through the podcast, because that's what it is with this country. If we don't do that, then something's going to be neglected. So thank you.
It also, you know, something else that Marianne Williamson said at her lecture, and I think it's a good note to sort of wrap up on, is that like our politics is very shallow, that we kind of just, we talk about just surface level things. And so we talk about the symptoms, right? We talk about like, oh, this is the person that's winning, or voter suppression, or like, oh, black people don't vote. But what's the cause of that? And we don't really dig in deep to what's creating this. And that's what the news channels should really be doing. All they do is say, this crazy thing happened, right?
Right.
Well, but why? Why is
what's
that happening?
The cause? What's the root cause?
What's the root of it? And then you can inform people about the history of things.
Yes.
That's what journalism needs to be doing. And over these next 2 years, stop playing that man's rallies. Stop giving him all this free airtime and talk about the history of things. Because we as Americans don't know our history, and we are doomed to, like, voter suppression's back. It's back, you know? Because people don't know their history. And so we need to take our politics into a deeper, it's not having shallow politics, having deeper political conversations.
Ooh, all the snaps to that.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything dumb in response to that, because that was good.
It's all from Marianne Williamson's lecture last night. And when she said that, I was like, oh, the universe wants me to communicate this to our listeners. So thank you, Marianne Williamson, for mentioning that. And if you're ever in New York, go to one of her lectures. She also does lectures in LA as well and across the country. She's traveling. Go to Marianne Williamson.
I'm glad you crossed the street and went in there.
Go to Marianne.com to find out where she'll be.
Is she giving us money?
I know, but you know what? She's doing the Lord's work.
Someone give us a commercial.
We get her on the show.
We want some money.
Speaking of not that, but ratings and reviews, we get involved in the conversation. It helps people to find us. If you write a review on, most of y'all listen on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you for all of those that have already written a review. I really appreciate that. But those of you, if you want to throw us a review, share the wealth, you know? Don't just sit on us like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Share that wealth.
Other people want to listen to us.
Let the abundance flow through the universe. Take a page out of Janet Jackson's book. You for you, loving you. Fuck you, Les Moonves. Take a page out of her book. Share that pot of gold. Share it with everybody. They can also get involved in the conversation. You can take a screen cap on that guy. I broke her neck. You can take a screen cap of this show and share it out to.
What?
I'm explaining how they can use social media. They
oh,
can take a,
okay.
Am I saying the words right?
No, you are, but this is not our normal spiel, so I was kind of confused at where we're going.
Adding another thing that they could do.
Okay, yeah,
you
sorry,
take,
I'm not.
A screen cap and, you know, share it out or tweet at us what was, one of your favorite moments from the show. We would love to get involved in the conversation. What you didn't know, maybe we missed something. Let us know.
Tweet, we're on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K, Facebook. Ask us anything. Minority Corner is spelled with a K at Gmail.
Gmail. We on that Gmail. You know, Gmail. We haven't gotten to Ask Minority Corner anything in a long time. So remember, just if you forgot the rules, you just record an audio 1 minute or less and send it to us. And yes, we'll answer your question the best way that we know how, with some knowledge and funny and some research.
Is that what we do?
Knowledge, funny, and research. Two of those are kind of similar.
That's the title.
Yeah, that's knowledge, funny, and research.
Research.
And thank you for voting. Remember, it's coming back in 2 years.
Keep fucking voting. You guys did an excellent job.
Keep it up. Don't stop. Yep. And that's our show. Thank you for Woody for doing our editing. Thank you to Brad for
Woody.
The music. Thank you to all you listeners for listening. We love you so much. And have a great week.
Yay!
And thank you for listening to Minority Corner. I was like, that's not how we
because
end.
Because together,
we're the majority.
We fell apart.
Love y'all.
Bye!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.